Okay. We will now call to order the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for September 10, 2013. At the outset, I have reviewed the August 13, 2013 Biketoberfest Master Plan Appeal Minutes, as well as the August 13, 2013 Regular Meeting Minutes. And so anyway, I've reviewed them and approved them. Do we have any announcements before we commence the hearing of the cases?
Yes, sir, Mr. McElder. We have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda.
Which are those two?
Number 4, SMG 081345 for 900 South Peninsula is in compliance as of the 9th. These were all yesterday. 9-9-13.
Okay, case number 4, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And number 5, SMG 081347, 645 North Atlantic Avenue, is in compliance as of September 9th. And number 6, SMG 081348, is in compliance as of, that's for 732 North Halifax, is also in compliance as of 9-9, September 9th. These were all, I believe that's it.
Very good. All right. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay, case number 1 is in compliance. Case number 2 is in compliance. So that brings us to
actually,
case number...
Mr. Vakalja, I think we have Mr. Curley.
Yes.
He was... It's in compliance, but I guess he
I'm
wanted
to... I'm in compliance,
but
I'd like to make a
brief
comment about
statement.
It.
Come on up.
Good morning. Could you state your name, please?
Richard Curlin.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I will.
Yes, sir. Mr. Curlin, it appears as though you're in compliance. What can we do for you today?
I'd just like to explain this whole situation from the time we moved here. Now, I retired in March, started looking for a home to buy down here, and I looked on the website, and Volusia County says that you can park a motorhome in the rear yard, okay? I looked at Daytona Beach website, and Article 8, recreational vehicles, says you can't park in the front driveway for more than 24 hours, but at all other times, it shall be parked in the behind the front wall of the dwelling or in the rear yard. Okay, that's Article 8. Now, you guys are charging me with Article 17, trucks and commercial vehicles parking. I'm not a truck or a commercial vehicle. But it says in here, or parking of large commercial or recreational type vehicles. You know, I mean, you got a gray area here as far as here it says you can park it, here you can't. Now, you guys, I don't know who added that recreational vehicle in there, but it's not added in to any of the other places. The other cities allow it, just Daytona Beach. And I'm in compliance.
How did you come into compliance?
I got it stored in a storage lot.
Okay, I thought you were going to seek a variance.
That's what I thought too, because when I talked with my counsel, that's what I was here to request a variance, but the day I was here, they said I couldn't do a variance. Yes? No?
Well, I mean, that's their opinion. Did you consult an attorney by any chance?
Well, I had an attorney.
Okay.
And, but when they said there was no variance, I got rid of my attorney. There's no sense in paying an attorney when I can't do a variance.
All right, so you relocated the vehicle.
Yes.
All right. Well, in any event, I don't profess to be a building and zoning law expert anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Used to do it about 30 years ago, and there was many a time the city told me I couldn't do things, and I disagreed. And they won a lot of times, but they didn't win all the time. So my point is, anyway, All right.
I don't have a whole, you know, I don't have an unlimited amount of money that I can pay for a bunch of legal fees and everything.
Well, I understand.
You know?
I understand. Well, in any event.
I mean, I think the city is doing a disservice to its citizens by putting in these frivolous laws when the county says you can do it.
Well, you got county laws, you got municipal laws. They don't necessarily all dovetail into one another.
Well, they don't make it plain. It's pretty gray here. But one Article 8 says you can park it, and Article 17 says you can't.
Well, you may have had something to talk about.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you're talking about it. Okay, well, we can talk about it over a beer, too. It's going to be worth about as much there. But anyway, okay. All right, well, I guess I'm glad it was resolved, or at least I'm glad you had the capacity to resolve it without it getting too troublesome.
I mean, I got a permit to put a driveway in to park it. The city gave me a permit. That cost me $6,000 for a driveway. I did extensive landscaping to make it look pretty. You know, I just got a neighbor, you know, that is complaining, evidently.
Well, okay, I'm not going to say any more, but it seems to me. No, I'm not going to say any more. All right. Good luck to you.
All right.
Case number 3, Edward C. Gillespie and Patricia Dederick, H&W. Yes, sir.
We can move number 9, sorry. Next, so that the building official can testify and then answer.
Sure.
Please.
This is Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC?
Yes.
Okay. Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes, sir.
If you would please step forward. Okay, Madam Secretary, so 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Is that listed on the agenda?
Pardon? It sure is. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's possible because I have different versions.
You're fine.
Somebody else's turn?
It's been crazy.
Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Don Ziegler.
Z-E-I-G-L-E-R. Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, sir. You're in affiliation with Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC?
I'm the Regional Director of Engineering and Maintenance for the property.
You have authority to speak on their behalf?
Yes, I do.
You agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
I found the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mm-hmm. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
I can speak, if I can, I'll speak to that a little bit. Mr. Kelger, we're actually familiar with Mr. Ziegler. They own another property that's actually before the other, before the board, the co-board. And what you're going to see, and I'll ask the inspector to go over it briefly, as well as our chief building official, that the violations are a large number of violations, structural related, which we believe would require an engineer to take a look at and determine what a number of things. Among them is the priority of repairs on structural repairs, and to aid in a timeline on when it should be able to have everything done. So what we're looking at and desiring today is to have the finding of non-compliance, but to actually have this to come back at the next meeting requiring an engineering report. Now I ask the our chief building official, Mr. Garrett, to explain that a little better exactly what we mean, but requesting an engineering report that would give us some structural give us some description of what we need in terms of getting this thing taken care of. And at that time, we'd be able to ask for the compliance statement. I'm not sure right now if we're ready to discuss permits or not, but I'll take an hour or two on Mr. Garrett for that as well. And so the city will call Mr. Garrett to explain.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Mike Garrett, chief building official.
Again, if I can, you know, specify anything in the photos that you're seeing up there in front of you, typically this is just spalling. This is what happens to an oceanfront building with salt spray intrusion into the steel rebar system, which is the skeleton system of the building. Requires constant maintenance, and it looks like this certain facility has been lax on that. So just keep in mind that the steel in the building is the skeletal system of the building, is what holds it together. So the concerns here are definitely structural, and what we've done in the past to be consistent is we've asked for a Florida licensed design professional, preferably a structural engineer, to evaluate the structure and prioritize the area of repair and what needs to take place first. And then, of course, we can, you know, develop a schedule for those repairs. Those repairs would require monitoring and a permit from the city as well.
Okay. Mr. Ziegler, are you a structural engineer?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, what I can tell you, though, is we've already begun this process. We've already had engineers looking at several different portions of the building. We've got engineered drawings for, there's columns, there's a drive-through area under the building. We've recently gone to contract with that, and we plan on starting very soon. I believe they're already in process of trying to get permits. We're also in contract phase for all the balcony work, and that also should be coming to permitting very soon, within the next week or so. So,
okay.
And then we've got engineers looking at the walkways on the front of the building, and there's an eyebrow around the top where the roof line is, and they're also looking at that. So we're waiting for the engineer studies
sounds like
to come back for that.
Mary, your two programs here. So how do we put all this together?
Well, one thing is just my brief discussion again with Mr. Garrett as follow-up is we don't believe we're ready yet to set deadlines on the permitting. So the only deadline that we have right now is that we would like by the next meeting for him to have the engineering report, and from there. Yeah, with the timeline as was requested by Mr. Garrett, and then from there we'll be asking to we would expect it to put that timeline in place if we believe that's reasonable.
Okay, so what say Mr. Ziegler?
Sounds very reasonable to me, sir.
Okay, so the only thing we're looking for right now is a structural engineer's assessment and then someone being prepared to discuss a timeline as far as the repairs.
Right.
And that's what we're looking to accomplish by the time of the next meeting.
All right. Sounds very good.
Then I guess I will continue the determination of a compliance date until our meeting of October 8, 2013. And at that time, it will be presumed we will have in hand a structural engineer's assessment in advance of that meeting, as well as a suggested timeline for the repairs. This looks like a big project, so I'm giving you right up to the meeting to get it done.
That is a very big project.
Basically trying to buy you as much time as I can here.
Appreciate that.
Between now and October. Does that cover it? Does the city want something suggesting anything different?
I'm good. Yes.
Yeah, that works. Sir.
All right, so by October 8th, at the October 8th meeting, we will expect the respondent to have submitted his structural engineer's assessment and timeline, and then hopefully we'll be prepared to discuss compliance dates.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm sorry. There was one other thing. Just that they maintain, which I'm sure they want to do. They maintain the safety. Right now they have some netting and stuff in terms of
I've got some pictures of that if he wants to see it. Yeah.
Make sure it's safe, that's blocked off, that no one can go through.
Well, I brought some pictures. You can see some of this.
Enough to try to avoid a little bit of liability here.
Yes.
By showing whatever measures are reasonably necessary.
Yeah, we've got the bicycle gates that they typically use during bike week and so on, with the orange fencing on them to prevent people from going in the construction areas. We've done some pre-staging for the work on the columns and the balconies, and all those areas are blocked off to any outside traffic other than contractors. And in addition to that, all of the rooms directly above the area that we plan on working on have been off market and not used by guests. So we've had those rooms, the first six bays of rooms at that end of the building, they've been blocked off since August 12th, I believe.
Very good.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, case number 7, Guillermo Vasquez Hidalgo and Vicenta Sanchez.
Good morning. I can speak good English. I bring my son.
I'm sorry?
I bring my son, can help me because I can speak good English.
Okay. Can you state your name, please?
Guillermo Vasquez.
Ma'am, are you going to be testifying?
Yeah, Vicenta Sanchez.
Vicenta Sanchez.
And, sir?
Jose Vasquez. J-O-S-E Vasquez.
Okay, can you raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, do you all agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
There has been multiple, would this be considered violation as the last report that was done, or...
Okay. Noise complaint, excessive loud music outdoors. I don't know if that was for a specific date. Why don't we hear from the city then?
Mr. Chair, what it's showing is a continuation of events that are occurring. So it's not date specific in the sense that the one event is not the focus, but a continuation of events that occur and reoccur is what the allegations are. And just looking at the audience, I don't believe Mr. Pugh is in the audience. Is there Mr. Pugh out there? No.
Okay, who's Mr. Pugh?
Mr. Pugh is actual complainant being affected by the noise, who would be the witness who should be present here today. He was, and I'll ask my inspector, my officer, to clarify for that. Mr. Pugh, you spoke with Mr. Pugh?
Several times.
Okay, did he know to be here today?
Yes, he did. Okay. He was actually even given a letter.
Okay, and other than your communication with Mr. Pugh, do you have any other knowledge about the violation?
No.
Okay. So we have Mr. Pugh's hearsay testimony, but that's all we have.
Sounds like you guys got a get out of jail card. today.
But
having said that,
okay.
You obviously have a neighbor who's concerned about noise, mm-hmm. So let's just try to keep it down. I'm not saying you're not already. Let's just try to avoid any friction out there.
Excuse me? It's a rental house. There's no living there.
It's our tenant's house. Is there any way we can get with the city as in a way we can work something out, because for instance, we have the situation where we have certain phone calls being done at certain times when the parents aren't home, aren't present with, and it's supposedly the child that's doing all this. Is there a way we can work something out.
Somebody needs to start filling in some blanks here because I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If we can.
Yeah, the noise is the child in the front yard in the car
playing the loud music in the car.
Excuse me, where's the lights in the car?
I'm sorry?
Where's the lights in the car? Where's the car? Which one?
Oh, I don't know. The complainant never specified a specific car.
But
he did say that it's the child that is doing it.
Okay. I want to know because I talked to the first time when we got the letter, I talked to with the officer, and I called the lady, and I asked, you know, about for the car, because she tell me it's one white car, and And this guy not has any white car, you know. So I called the officer and I asked, can she tell me, you know, what is the license for the car? And she never called me back. So this is the first time when we got the letter. So this time I got the letter and I go to the house because we don't live over there, you know. So I asked the people what happened, you know. So the lady tell me the little girl has the music, but inside in the house. So this is why we got this letter. So I don't know, you know, so.
Okay, time out. Do you people own 125 Center Street?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you rent it to somebody?
Yes.
That's a real problem.
Do you rent it to Mr. Pugh?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Pugh is the neighbor. The ones that they're renting to are the ones who are being alleged to be making the noise.
So your tenant's...
Child. Young adult.
Yes.
Your tenant's child...
Yeah.
It's been alleged is out front in the car playing music loudly, and Mr. Pugh's complaining. But Mr. Pugh's not here to tell us when, how often, or anything
exactly.
like that.
Although the complaints that we receive have been reoccurring, than once... And
reoccurring meaning coming from Mr. Pugh.
From Mr. Pugh, right.
The police themselves haven't been there to see or hear any of this.
Well, the couple inspections that I did have been during the day, and both the tenants and Mr. Pugh have not been there.
Mr. DeKelja, I know this isn't a usual thing, but it just seems that this is so so continuous. That
so if continuous according to whom?
According to Mr. Pugh.
Absent witness?
I understand. According to the absent witness, Mr. Pugh, and I'm not sure what Mr. Pugh's confusion may have been or why he's not here. And of course, this would be your call, but I would ask, and I didn't ask before, but I would ask maybe just because of the level of confusion for both parties, that if we can continue it, give another shot at having Mr. Pugh here, maybe we could at least settle some neighbor dispute or neighbor community situation that would be beneficial to us all, even though I understand the whole challenge of us not being able to go forward with Mr. Pugh not being here this time.
Do you work?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I do work in the company on commercial driver.
Did you take off work to come down here?
Yeah.
You took off work to come down here today?
He took off work. She took off work. I took off school.
This list.
Yeah.
Mr. Pugh didn't show up. These people took off from work to be down here today. If there's a, now, having said all that, you're being forewarned here. I guess the concern is that you hang on a second. Hang on a second. You're being forewarned here. I don't know if it's happening or not. Your neighbor didn't show up to testify in front of me. You did. Okay. But you might just want to talk to your tenant, and you might explain to the tenant that the daughter being out in the car, playing loud music, causing a disturbance, you know, could pose problems for you, and you might just do all you can to make sure it doesn't happen anymore.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, you came down here like you were supposed to today, Mr. Pugh did not, so that's why I'm dismissing this. That's not to say it may not be happening. And if it happens again in the future, then we're going to find ourselves back here again.
Okay. Excuse me. I want to know, I go try the people living there, go sign the letters, something happened, we go charge to the people living there, not to us, right?
Say that one more time now.
I think I understand. Aren't you asking that if they're the ones doing it, that they are the ones that should be charged and not you guys.
Yeah.
Nope, you're the property owner.
Yes.
Then your tenant is your problem.
Okay. In the future, if we end up
if the city were to attempt to interfere with your tenant, then you'd be suing the city for interfering with your tenant. No, your tenant is your problem.
Okay. In the future, if incidents was to occur again, who should be the appropriate person to get more information from? Would it be the officer or the actual city coming through here?
Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I guess it's a matter of who's going to be there to witness what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Whoever's the most knowledgeable about what's occurring at the time is the person that I'm going to be listening, giving the most attention to.
Okay.
And Ms. Wachowski, our officer, indicated she'll be happy to talk with y'all as soon as after the meeting. I mean, here.
Okay.
As soon as we finish here.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 8, Theodora E. Keeling. Are you going to be speaking as well?
Sure, I'll talk for her because I guess I'm who has been in touch with Mr. Stinson.
Okay. So. Well, the reason I ask is you need to be put under oath as well.
Oh, okay.
Can you say your name, please?
Leon C. Keeling.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony about providing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, do we agree this condition existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation? That being a dilapidated roof?
Yeah. Well, define dilapidated, and I'm not being smart. I mean, because my roof itself is nothing wrong with my roof itself. Last bad storm, I guess you had here, underneath the underpinning of the roof got ripped out. So it's gotten wet and water damaged. There is some wood that is not up to par. I did get a bid for somebody to come and fix it. Actually, it was a lot of things wrong with it, but every time I've been told it was something wrong, I made sure, you know, that it got taken care of. We got a notice that the grass was too high. No problem. I got in a guy, every week he comes and cuts the grass. I got a notice the pool was messed up. Took care of it. Then I got another notice saying, well, you know, you're still not in compliance. And I'm like, well, I got to be, you know, the guys were there fixing it, and they tell me you came by to inspect it while they were fixing it. No, you know, well, yeah, I spoke to them, but everything I've been told is wrong. I've been getting it fixed. Only thing I'm kind of, the roof, that's going to cost about $7,000-$8,000. I don't have that kind of money to replace a roof right off. You know, so, but I mean, I'm working on it. I'm not trying to be not in compliance with anything. My mom's 92 years old, so as you can see, it's, you know, I live in North Carolina, so, you know, it's kind of like I try to do things long distance there.
All right. What does dilapidated mean? I assume it means in need of repair.
That's correct.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent in noncompliance. Now, let's hear from our inspector for a while and find out exactly what needs to be done, and we'll go from there. So, Mr. Inspector, what needs to be done?
The roof is the only thing that's left that needs to be corrected. He has corrected the pool. He's corrected broken windows. He's corrected the fencing. He's locked the fencing that gives access to the pool. So the only thing that is left is the roof. The actual structure of the top part of the roof, it may be okay. However, all of the soffits are dilapidated and they need to be repaired. Okay. The soffit is part of the roof.
All right. Sounds like you already have a handle on what needs to be done with the roof anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I talked to him, I told him, hey, look, you know, man, anything that you're wrong, I'm not there. I don't know. So if you call me, just call me, man, and tell me, hey, Leon, you need to fix this. No problem. I'll get right on it. I'll fix it to the best of my ability as soon as I can. The only reason why I'm kind of with the roof is, like I said, I have the bid here in case you wanted to see it. It's going to cost a lot of money. I don't have that kind of money. You know, well, a lot of money to me. It may not be a lot of money to some people, but it's a lot of money to me. When you start talking $6,000 and $7,000, that I could buy a car for that. So, not that I need one, but I'm just saying, it's, you know. So, and I explained that to him. I was like, hey, it's going to take me a minute to get the roof fixed, but I'll get it fixed. Just give me a minute.
All right. How much time should it take to prepare the roof?
Well, here's the proposal here for it.
Let's ask him. Oh. See what he's got to say. Maybe you'll lighten your load.
We're recommending the November cutoff.
Okay, they're suggesting about 60 days. What do you say?
Okay. Can you give me 90 days, man? If you give me 90 days...
Are there any life safety issues involved here?
No, sir.
Okay. So, if you got till December 4th, you think you'd get it done?
Yes, sir.
So we can close the book on this?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I've already put in motion. I can show you papers on that. I'm attempting to make a loan from the bank to get it done.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent come into compliance by December 4, 2013.
Okay.
Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And, you know, if something unforeseen should come up that's going to cause a hiccup along the way, best thing you can do to help yourself if you end up back here is to make sure you're communicating with him.
I do. He could tell you. I ain't shy. I call him in a minute and tell him, hey, Mr. Stenson, look, this is what's happening. Okay. Even when the pool, when it was going to be like, I think, a day behind what he said, I told him, I said, hey, man, the guy can't make it here, but he'll be here that next day. Okay. So.
There's nothing. All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, that concludes our regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Okay. Not that I can think of related to this proceeding.
And it's my understanding that 10:30 is when we're going to start.
Yes, unfortunately.
Red light. That's all right, no problem. That's when we're going to start red light hearings. So, I'm not adjourning this meeting, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, will that be a new meeting?
We're going to call a meeting?
Another agenda.
Okay.
Okay, very good. All right, then this meeting is...